So the next speaker is Angie Fu. She's going to talk about some convex optimization. Please.
Let's hope this works. Hi, everyone. Is this working? Good. Can everyone hear me? My name is Angie. I'm a researcher at Stanford, and I'm going to talk about CVXR, which is a really cool new R package we're developing that does modeling for convex optimization problems. This is a joint work with Bala Naras from the Stats Department and Stephen Boyd from WE here. So this is a basic general convex optimization problem. We're minimizing a cost function f0 of x with respect to this variable x. Subject to some constraints. So we have some inequality constraints, f sub phi of x less than or equal to 0. And then we also have some linear equality constraints, which we represent in a matrix form ax equals b. The key here is that your cost function, f0, and your inequality constraints, f1 through fm, are all convex functions of variable of interest x. So this is a very general class of problems, and we're interested in it for two reasons. First, we can solve them. So the math is very well known. There are algorithms to solve these problems quickly and efficiently out there, and you can download open source solvers for them. And secondly, these types of problems arise in many different applications in many different fields, including machine learning and statistics. So just to look at some of these common problems in statistics that fit into this framework, you have least squares with or without a non-negative constraint on your betas, ridge and lasso regression or combined elastic net, isotonic regression, Huber regression, logistic regression, support vector machines, sparse inverse covariance matrix estimation, maximum entropy and related problems, and many, many new methods being invented every year. So for any of these one problems, you might be able to download an R package to solve it. However, what we're offering is a unified R library that allows you to model and solve very easily the entire class of convex problems that I described in the past slide. In the past 10 years, there's been a move towards domain-specific languages, or DSLs, for convex optimization. There's already many special packages for this. There's CVX in MATLAB, CVXPy in Python, YelMIP, convex.js, which is Julia, and many others, and tens of thousands of people in many different fields, from finance, engineering, to medicine, are already using these. They are slower than custom code you might write in Fortran, for example. However, their advantage is that they're extremely flexible, so you can easily prototype new different methods or techniques. Secondly, as you can see here, this is an example from Python. It's very simple and short code. There's only 6 lines here. It's incredibly readable. And it's almost identical to mathematical syntax. Here I'm just solving a basic least squares problem with some kind of norm and minimizing the cost function. So CVXR brings this modeling capability to R. We are working on this package right now with Naras, and we plan to connect many open source solvers. We have ECOS right now, which is a cone solver, and we're going to plan to connect SCS and CVXOpt and some others later on. CVXR uses a method called disciplined convex programming to verify the convexity of your problem. So my first slide, I mentioned that the cost function and inequalities have to have a certain type of function. So DCP, which is disciplined convex programming, is basically a rule set that allows you to figure out whether your mathematical problem fits into this convex framework. I don't have time to go into the details of this, but you can download and read the paper on Stephen Boyd's website. It's fairly simple rule set. You might need to spend some time reading a chapter and reading a few papers, but once you learn it, it's very simple to put your problems in this framework. And finally, CVXR mixes very easily, like any other R library, with other R code. So you can munge your data in Ply R, import it, and run your CVXR to solve your problem, and then plot it with ggplot2 or Shiny, or whatever your favorite visualization is. So let's just jump into some examples. I'm going to start with a very simple basic least squares just to show you what the R code looks like. We're minimizing a sum of squared errors. Our beta is a variable of interest. X and Y are constants. And here is the code, the R code to do it. So as you can see, it's very similar to the Python I showed before. In the first line, we have a beta equals variable n, which is creating an S4 object. And it tells you that my variable of interest is beta. It has dimension n is 5 or something. And second line, I'm defining my cost function. So here I'm calling the sum squares function from my R library, CVXR library. And I'm passing in the difference here. The third line, I'm creating this problem, and I'm saying I want to minimize this objective, no constraints, very simple. And then I call solve. And the solve function, what it does is it passes all this information to backend. Backend runs the DCP checks, makes sure your problem's convex, you can solve it, sends it off to your solver like ECOS. ECOS solves it and gives you the result. And all you get back in R is a simple R list, which contains your optimal value of the objective, and your optimal beta values. And then you can take these are basic R matrices or vectors. You can plot them or do whatever you want with them. So that's great. You say, I have solved least squares 10 times slower than my awesome Fortran code. Why should I use this? Well, the difference is that here, if you want to add new constraints or change terms or do different things with the objective, you would have to, in your Fortran code, you would have to go back and change your algorithm a lot, or to go find a new R package to do it, and it's a lot of trouble. Whereas with CVSR, we can do this in three lines, can add new constraint. So I'm just going to do a very simple non-negative least squares. Here I'm just putting one constraint on my betas. Mathematically, this is not much different. All you have is beta greater than or equal to zero. And then in a code here, it's really only three new lines. So my first line, I create a list and I just say I only have one constraint. It's beta greater than or equal to zero, just like my math here. Second line, I create a new problem object and I pass in a second argument here, which is my constraint object. And then I call solve again. And so now my new list solution 2 contains the optimal value and the betas for my non-negative least squares. So this is very simple. You can add many more constraints just as simply. You can add new terms. You can manipulate things, change objective. All these different objects you can manipulate like regular RS4 objects. And here I just generate some synthetic data just to show that this produces interesting results. So red are the true coefficients. I generated 10 betas. Yellow is our least squares, which using LM. And as you can see, the fit is not very good. My beta 2 is negative. Beta 3 and beta 7 are overshooting completely. Now I ran the previous code with non-negative least squares. I get my blue lines, bars, and expected. I get much better fits everywhere. So we have basically done in three lines, which you might have to go and change, write paragraphs of code to do in other packages. So that's a cool example, but let's move to something a little more interesting that might apply to some of your problems. We're going to look at a method called direct standardization. This is used to deal with non-uniform sampling, which can arise in many situations. Suppose you have samples X and Y. Y is your response. X are some features that you're interested in. And they're drawn non-uniformly from some population distribution. You don't know what this distribution is. So that's the bad news. But the good news is that you do know something about your features of X. You know the expected value of the columns of X, and they're given to you in some vector here, B. So a concrete example is this. Suppose that X has two features. You're looking at some population of people. Column 1 is the sex, male or female. Column 2 is the age of the person. And your response, Y, might be income or something that depends on sex and age. So you know that in the population, you have 50-50 male, female, and the average age is 35, 40, whatever it is. However, you've been sampling at a college and you get majority young women or something. And that affects naturally your response, Y, income. So we want to actually determine or roughly estimate the true distribution of our response, Y. So the naive approach would be taking our skewed sample and just weighting everything equally and doing plotting an empirical distribution. But that's not a good estimate, as you can tell. So young women might have slightly lower incomes because they have, you know, less education and so forth than a general population. So instead, what we're going to do here is we're going to generate an estimate, a weighted empirical distribution. So for every single one of our Ys in our sample, let's say we have 100, we're going to generate a corresponding weight W. So you have W1 through W100. And we want to estimate these weights to match first information we know already on our X features, so our known expectations, you know, 50% male, female, and the average age is 35, and two, to maximize the entropy function. So right here at the bottom is the actual convex optimization problem, the formal problem. You're maximizing this concave function, that's your sum of the entropies, subject to three constraints. Your weights must be in a probability simplex, which means that the weights are non-negative, they sum to one. And then a third matrix constraint here is X prime W equals B. That's your expectations. So basically, we're doing a weighted sum of each column of my sampled X is equal to what we want. So the first would be, you know, sum of the first column is equal to 0.5, sum of the second column is equal to 35. Now, translating this again to CVSR is really simple. You're just taking the math and almost line by line changing it. Here, first line, I'm generating my weights, and I'm saying I have 100 of these in one vector. Second line, I am calling the ENTR, that's my entropy function, on it, and then I'm calling sum entries, so I'm summing the entropies for all my weights. A constraint is now a list with three objects, weights greater than equal to zero, sum entries equals one, and then my X prime W equals B using R's syntax. Finally, I'm maximizing this with respect to these constraints. I solve, and I get my R list of weight vectors. So solution $W is, again, just a regular R vector. And then after this, you can just go ahead and reweight your Ys and plot them using calling whatever cumulative sum or whatever your custom nice, you know, smoothing function is that you created in R to plot PDFs or CDFs. So here I did what I said before. I generated some data with sex, age, and some other information in X and my Ys. So blue is the true population distribution here of my response Y income. And green here is the sample. So this is just my this naive approach where I just take my sample and I just plot it evenly. So as you can see, my sample was skewed such that my response is actually much lower than my true population. So this green is really mismatched from my blue. Now, I ran maximum entropy. I got my weights. I reweighted my Y, so I create a weighted CDF, which is just a weighted cumulative sum, and I get the red line here, just an estimate of Y. As you can see, it's a much better fit, much better estimate of my population. It matches almost completely up to around 4. It goes a little bit lower, but then it goes back and matches everything. And this was just based on information that you have on the expected values of the columns of X. So you might actually have more information on your population that you didn't tell you here. Maybe certain percentages of people are above a certain age, or you might have more columns in X. That will actually make your fit much better. So this is just a basic example to show that direct standardization works. And we've done this new and really cool method using, again, like 6 lines of R code with CVXR. So amazing. I think it's amazing. All right, finally, so CVXR is still in development. It's almost finished. Naras and I are working very hard on it. You can check it out on GitHub and download and install it and try it out for yourself. We plan to connect a lot more solvers to it, like I mentioned. SCS is a cone solver, CVXOpt, and some other solvers like POGS will eventually be added. We plan to flesh out and add more convex functions. So you can, as you saw before, I had ENTR at some entries at various others. And we're going to add as many as we can think of. But already there are a lot that are available on there. We're going to develop more applications and examples. So we're going to write some R vignettes to show how you can use CVXR in various finance or medicine or engineering applications. And finally, we're going to add warm start support. That basically improves the convergence speed of your solver algorithms. And we're going to submit to CRAN once it's done and tested and it's ready for everyone to use. So you can download it, try it out, and send me hate mail if it doesn't work for you. is there any questions? Yes? Oh, of course. Okay. Thank you.
Nice presentation. I've been an enthusiastic user of CVX on MATLAB for a long time, and I use R a lot, and it's great to see this happening. One thing that occurred to me looking at your presentation is I feel the syntax of the CVX in MATLAB is more natural. Now, you must have thought about this, and could you comment on whether there's some roadblocks in R that keep you from having a better expression of disciplined convex programming or not?
I'm not sure what you mean by natural. I think some of the syntax I've used here, for example, I did a TX of X times W equals B. That's using R's own. Oh, oops, I didn't. Okay, so some of the syntax is using R-specific syntax. So with the matrix multiplication, you have this ugly percent times percent. Other things are sort of based on CVX Pi and Python, and that means that I needed to overload some R functions using S4, which definitely made it a little bit less natural for, I guess, people using MATLAB to use. But I hope that R users will find it more comfortable using the syntax that I have.
Yeah, hi. I think this is really great work. Thanks for a really amazing presentation. But yeah, I also have been following the CVX DC kind of stuff for a while, and I was just wondering, why do you think it is that all of the other languages got the DCP solvers first, and then R is like the last one?
It's because no one wanted to program in R. That's the real reason. And then I volunteered. I think R it's there's various barriers there. For example, trying to get R to connect with the solvers in the background, like C and C and C++, is a bit difficult. Naras can talk about that because he's been working on that. For me in a front end, I had to work with R's own kind of not quite object-oriented, you know, S4. S4 is not really object-oriented in a way that, you know, like Java or even Python is object-oriented. So translating that code over is a bit difficult and requires a bit of finagling in the background and some syntactic sugar to make sure that you don't see the ugliness. So I think that's the main reason it's been a little delayed. But we're hoping to get it out and get all the statisticians on board, and you can use it and sell it to your friends. So, yeah. Anything else? Great. Thank you very much.